Hi, Calvin. We just had a drop-off of the signal connection, and you were just talking about how the electromagnetic field contains the phase relationships as described by the Euler's formula, and that the statistics which is normally used is actually based on the specific distributions of photons and bosons in the electromagnetic field. And you were just rounding off the description at that point. But maybe you can recapitulate the rounding off, which was just cut off by the dropping off the connection.
That's fine. The final summary was basically to say that within quantized angular momentum, omega, which is in tetrionics the equilateral geometry of Planck's constant, we can now start with that geometry, the equilateral charge of electromagnetic energy, and we can build up this complete model that covers all the physical attributes as well as some of the mathematical properties or descriptors of bosons, charged bosons, neutral photons, and electromagnetic waves. And by using these geometries, we can fully describe, or we can fully show, that they are mass energy momenta, or kinetic mass energy momentas, and that the amplitude and distribution of photons within the EM waves creates the wave functions that we've utilized in mathematics to date, but which has also led to us to this problem of wave-particle duality. Tetrionics, as we've just gone through, shows us that there is no duality. The electric and magnetic field relationships, their phase relationships, and the properties of momenta all stem from this geometric relationship that's inherent because of the omega, the squared meters per second of Planck's constant. What we'll do in the next discussion is take those distributions of bosons and photons in transverse and longitudinal waves, and we'll show what happens when you superposition them, both laterally and ventrally, and where we have constructive and destructive interference, where we can move them through single and double slits to create interference patterns from the equilateral geometry, not from circular wave fronts, as hypothesized by Young and everyone since. So we completely rule out circular geometries and rely instead on equilateral quanta. And we can also then show that the circular diffraction patterns are the result of the polarization of light within these experiments. And the final part of the discussion in the next talk will be to then extend upon the previous lecture last night, where we then rearrange the arrangement of positive and negative quanta within those wave functions and those geometries to produce information storage, or creation and storage within those fields, and then transmit that information instantaneously between two material objects or persons, irrespective of the time or distance between those two people, which leads us to things like telepathy and precognition, things like that, and why precognition can be validated, because the instantaneous action at a distance works way faster than electrical components or electrical circuits trying to measure the phenomena, which are limited by nature, to the speed of light. And the final part, I propose, would be to then step up from photons and EM waves and apply the same information to the chem fields of photoelectrons in single and double slit experiments and show that that is where we have a true wave particle interaction, but there's no duality. The wave remains the mass EM field, and the particle is the material object that's being accelerated, which is the electron. So all that will be covered in the next lecture. But this discussion was important because we had to lay the groundwork for the understanding of equilateral geometries to explain the phase relationships of electric and magnetic fields as opposed to circular wavefronts.
Thank you very much for your whole explanation of this. And yes, it is so important to see that whatever everybody has already been taught in terms of circular motions, and I definitely got a whole load of that and I focused on all of that. But once it is seen that every circle has an inscribed triangle, then whatever was known in terms of the circle descriptions can be found back now in terms of the triangular descriptions. But then of course it all is. We just had to drop out again.
Did it?
I was just explaining that everybody who learned how to look at this from the perspective of circles can simply translate to what tetrionics offers by realizing that with every circle you can write an equilateral triangle, and then you can immediately connect up to everything that tetrionics described.
Yeah. A lot of work in tetrionics is simply, you may call it translating from circular measurements to equilateral geometries, but there's also occasionally a phase relationship. I won't delve into it, but sometimes what we measure as a sine wave or a curve has energy associated with it that we don't see in the graphing or the math because it's 90 degrees out of phase with what the math is describing. The geometry can represent it, and that's why I've taken the time on this one to try and labour home as much explanation as I could, and hopefully as clearly as I could, so that people can get this understanding of a geometric waveform. Once they get that, the understanding of the results of single and dual slit experiments and other paranormal information transfer becomes a rather straightforward exercise in geometry. You can see the relationships and you can see how these effects are produced, whereas using circular waveforms related to relativistic speeds, you cannot explain it, nor in most cases can you actually visualize it.
And that's precisely what we need when we deal with consciousness. When we understand that consciousness is the form of energy, evidently we should not look for a measurement methodology of that in terms of matter. And that is probably the key of your whole explanation, that material measurements, as they have been conceived until now, worked for measuring matter. But when you want to measure consciousness, you need to understand that you're dealing with energy fields directly, and that these are separate from the material substance described in physics.
Yeah, it's mass versus matter, spiritual versus material or physical, geometry versus topology. They all have an effect, but you really need to be able to differentiate that somehow, between them somehow, so that when you construct your experiments, you firstly know what you're looking for as in an attempt to explain the mechanics or the mechanisms, and then devise your experiments so that you don't that you seek the right observables, and that you don't preclude the what you're looking for from the experiment, as is the case in some experiments at present, where we shield the experiments, not realizing that what we're doing is shielding the mass energy, which is affecting part of the information flow that we're trying to measure.
Yeah. Govan, let me just see if I can summarize what we had just been discussing to reconnect it to the previous presentation which you did. The starting point was my conversation with Dean Radin, who's now trying to measure consciousness using a young double-slit experiment, comparing that to the single-slit experiment results. So he's using an interferometer, as it is called, essentially trying to measure how light fields around our being can be measured. In the previous talk, you already explained that the crux, the core of that kind of measurement needs to be that there is a difference between energy and matter, and tetrionics makes that difference very clear. And in this presentation, you addressed how we can look at the energy component. You put in place that it starts with a boson, that the photon is actually a double boson connected in a very logical, simple manner. And when you look at that representation as it is shown in tetrionics, you also have the full explanation of why, when the passage of a photon is measured, it first shows an electric wave and then a magnetic wave and so on. You also show that if you try to understand the relationship between the boson and the photon, and we need to put that as a parallel to the relationship between energy and matter, that the boson is much more energetic and the photon is much more informatics. It is the boson is charged and the photon is neutral in that sense. So we are working with two different qualities, and that the measurements in physics need to account for the difference between that. Much of the measurement in physics is based on not recognizing that, and you pointed out that in tetrionics you can see that you need to actually correct some of the measurements, such by understanding that every time you have a measurement involving photons, you are actually at that same time measuring two bosons. So there's always this factor of one versus two, one photon, two bosons, that comes into play. And you also show that when you measure fields of bosons and photons, that if you measure it in a boson sense, you end up with what physics would call the transverse wave, described by Hertz. But if you count it in the photons, that you would actually be measuring the longitudinal waves as accounted by Tesla. So you also have the relationship there between, in a different way, Planck talking about bosons and Einstein reckoning in photons. In physics, it has never been made very clear how those two relate, and in tetrionics it becomes absolutely clear. It becomes very simple. And so with what you have done now in this talk, you have expanded on what was understood in the previous talk as the difference between energy and matter. And in this talk you put it in perspective as the relationship between the boson and the photon. So that in the next talk we can expand on that and basically come to an understanding of why there is such a difference between consciousness and materiality. As always, I'd like to ask you if you would like to round off this recording in any way of your choosing.
I think you've pretty well rounded it up, tidied it, and summarized it very nicely. This discussion, as a follow-on from the earlier one, was purely aimed at conveying and educating people new to it how the geometry dictates what we measure in physics, and how we should use that geometry and the understanding of that geometry to devise experiments that can show what's really going on, as opposed to the approach we're going at the moment. It really is an important part in the education. Anyone seeking to understand consciousness and the transfer of information over distance, etc., through the paranormal or the spiritual mechanisms, which we now show to be just mass or mass energies, really needs this primer education discussion on the geometries of bosons and photons and how the phase relationships work. Once that's in place, we can now move on to the next one, which is where we bring two or more of these fields together, and we show various fields of just mass energy as well as matter and mass energy, and create a better understanding of all these phenomena and how we can test for them without causing ourselves problems or eliminating the very thing we're looking for.
Again, Calvin, thank you very much for your explanations, because it really puts so much in place and gives so much more possibilities to get further in physics and science than where we were before. That's great.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.